Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States. Glad to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you text ERIC to 33777, that's E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get the show notes, the live stream, the podcast, the social media links, all that. Had a great time in Vegas. Those of you out there in Las Vegas listening, I am delighted to now have you guys live every weekday. I continue to have this odd phenomenon where I go to Las Vegas and you, it's like I tell my wife, not that I would anyway, but you don't have to worry about me going to Las Vegas and getting in trouble because I'm on the radio out there and they all recognize me. So I would never go someplace indiscreet. Not that I would anyway, but KXNT is 6:40 a.m. They picked us up. We're on the weekends, and now we are live every weekday, and I am just delighted to be out there. Was there this weekend, had a great time. I actually got down to almost no money and decided, you know what, I've got like $200. I'm going to go to the craps table. I'll just throw it all down, and wound up walking away with a lot of money, more than I went to Las Vegas with. That was how I ended my night. So it was a fun time. The window washer has gone now, and I was wrong. What was that, Jim? 840. Oh, thank you. Okay. 840. I said 640. Yep. Okay. KXNT. The window washer is gone and I was wrong. There are two ropes, not one rope. Thank God. At least he's got two instead of one. He's gone. Thank the Lord. I was very discombobulated and now I need to get into news where I don't want to be distracted by a man hanging by ropes outside my window, washing the windows. So let's talk about weird. When you run for office, and it doesn't matter, and you know, at some point, so Philip has been pushing me to that my next book should be about how to run for office because it's something I know quite a lot about. In addition to having gotten myself elected to office, and I was my own campaign, I did everything, I didn't have a staff. I've also run campaigns. One of the rules of thumb in campaigns is you have to define yourself before the opposition defines you. If the opposition defines you first, you have to spend way more money to reset the definition and go after your opponent. How do you define yourself? You run a volley of positive ads about yourself. You expose yourself everywhere that is a positive venue to get as much attention as possible. And at the same time, you begin to define your opposition in contrast to yourself. The Harris campaign has not announced a running mate. What the Harris campaign is doing is they're working to define J.D. Vance far faster than the Republicans are working to define Kamala Harris. I got to say, I am actually really shocked that the Trump campaign has not yet released a volley of ads about Kamala Harris. Because the record is there. Now, let me do a segue here to the talking point the Democrats are using. They're crediting Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who some Democrats are pushing very hard to be Harris's vice president. And it's really not them. It's actually the Trump-Vance campaign. Last week, the Trump-Vance campaign signaled that it would begin to show that Kamala Harris was weird. And saying it publicly, yes, that campaign said it publicly in multiple reports from conservative outlets that they would make Kamala Harris seem weird. Well, the Democrats rushed in to do it first.
And I'm sure these latest polls about Kamala Harris are heartening to you and other Democrats. But do you see that bump as more a relief that Joe Biden got out of the race or a strong endorsement of Kamala Harris, who, as we mentioned earlier, had dropped out of the 2020 race very early?
Look, the electorate is energized. Democrats are ready to go. You've seen hundreds of thousands of people signing up to volunteer. Plus, our candidate is the Energizer Bunny. She's been everywhere all the time over the last several days. And we're excited about that, to get to see her in the battleground states and all over the country. And her message is one that I think resonates with people. And one of those things, of course, is pointing out the differences between these two candidates. I mean, on the other side, they're just weird. I mean,
that's J.D. Pritzker. They're just weird. Here's Representative Barbara Lee on CNN.
It demonstrates and shows us exactly what he believes in by selecting a J.D. Vance, who is quite... you know, as the campaign said, weird, but also pretty unprepared.
Notice, as the campaign says, and then Eric Swalwell.
How to smile and who knows how to be serious, but not take themselves so seriously.
Do you have a favorite vice presidential pick for her, or a vice presidential pick among the several names being discussed that you think would be the smartest pick for the Democrats?
You know, when it comes to the vice presidential sweepstakes, there's one name that I keep focusing on, J.D. Vance. He absolutely cannot be the vice president of the United States. And so anyone she picks will be eminently more qualified than a guy who thinks that if you're a single hardworking woman in America, you should have to pay more in taxes. Again, this is just bizarre, doesn't make any sense. And by the way, if you are single and you meet someone and you want to start a family, J.D. Vance doesn't support you using IVF to start that family. And say, unfortunately, you start a family and your spouse becomes violent. He has said that he thinks that you should be forced to stay in a violent marriage. So I don't think Kamala Harris is going to pick anyone as weird and creepy as J.D. Vance.
Weird and creepy. Oh, wait. And then there's Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, on MSNBC.
This morning. Let's talk about this new race and that new talking point, weird or weirdos, however you want to put it. Tell us, do you agree with that assessment? And why do you think it's breaking through?
Well, it's quite a jarring segue. Weirdos and freaks. Here's Governor Whitmer. I think that my colleagues are pointing out the obvious, that the agenda, the way they talk to people, the way they address people, it is bizarre. It's weird. It is weird.
It is weird. See, they've picked up. The Republicans said, this is how we're going to approach Kamala Harris, and now the Democrats have done it first. I can't. This is like, what the hell is going on with the Republicans? Why do you not have your message yet on Kamala Harris to define her? They're coming after J.D. Vance. Now, here's the problem. Vice presidents typically don't matter. But Trump decided he wanted a legacy play. He was going to double down on MAGA. Joe Biden was going to be it. They had it in the bag. They're going to steamroll through and solidify the MAGA agenda. And he went with J.D. Vance. Perfectly fine guy to be his running mate. Doesn't expand the board. The problem is that J.D. Vance is a millennial, and that's not really a problem. It's just he's a millennial, and every millennial had a blog. They got a Spotify playlist. He's been in group messages, text groups, things like that, that people much older than him tend to not be in. And so there is a massive paper trail, and they're doing a deep dive on his changing views and things. And frankly, over the last decade, J.D. Vance has fundamentally changed himself from an ally of the trans community into someone who thinks it needs to be banned. There's another problem here, too, for the Republicans. There are things that you and I can say that you cannot say if you wish to be a presidential or vice presidential candidate. I myself, if you're a longtime listener of this program, J.D. Vance's idea about single cat ladies is not a J.D. Vance idea. A lot of people have brought it up, including myself. I did an entire monologue on this program within the last 5 or 6 years about single cat ladies. And there's a real criticism there to be made. There are a number of women in this country who decided that they were going to advance their career. They didn't need a man. They don't want kids anchoring them down. And for a society to perpetuate itself, it's actually not a good choice. There's something called the DINK phenomenon, dual income, no kids. And it tends to be younger couples who've made the decision not to have kids They enjoy spending time together. They don't want kids ruining their lifestyle. And there is an anti-child agenda in this country. I mean, you're forced into the smallest possible vehicle in the most expensive house so that you can't have kids. You don't want to have kids. You're afraid you can't afford to have kids. And we should, as a society, as a nation that wishes to perpetuate itself, the production of children in society is actually necessary to perpetuate the nation state. That being said, it's a little weird for candidates to talk that way. And what I've learned, when you talk about the single cat lady phenomenon, which is a real thing, but when you talk about it, a lot of people who don't want to be single cat ladies, a lot of women who don't want to be single cat ladies, they take offense. And they take offense because they tried to have kids and they couldn't. I have a friend who got very upset about the comment. She is a professional. She works for a Fortune 500 company, very high up in the Fortune 500 company. She and her husband had 7 miscarriages. 7. And they gave up. And at the time, they couldn't afford adoption. Adoption is very expensive. $40,000, they couldn't afford it at the time. She's now at a position where she could, but she's just too old at this point to have kids. So they have animals. She was offended by the remark, not because she didn't know what he meant. She did. But it just cut close to home for her. It's like when Republicans call Kamala Harris the DEI candidate. We all know what we mean. Joe Biden said she was the pick because he wanted a non-white female, and she was it. She is a DEI pick, although it's more to reward a constituency group. It's a little more complicated than a DEI pick. The constituency group that helped Joe Biden win the nomination was black women. He wanted to reward black women. Therefore, he found a black woman to be his vice president. It's the nature of politics. You can call her a DEI candidate, but there are many black people listening to this program right now who have good jobs and have been questioned, did you get the job because of your merit or affirmative action? And they don't like Kamala Harris, but they sure are defensive about the comment. There are things that I can say that you can say that if you're running for president, you shouldn't say because people get defensive about them. It's just that's the nature of language. When I talk about Father's Day every year, I get angry single moms who feel like I've disrespected them. It happens. But you got to be real careful in how you dive into this. And J.D. Vance has a record the Democrats are using against him. The issue here, however, is not so much J.D. Vance's record, but Kamala Harris's record and the failure of Republicans now to exploit it. Republicans were saying a very long time ago, back in February, March, that Kamala Harris was going to be the nominee. Joe Biden was going to drop out. The fact that they haven't prepared the attacks is remarkable. Dave McCormick has in Pennsylvania. He's got a very good ad with Kamala Harris's record. Bernie Marino in Ohio now has a very good ad tying Sherrod Brown to Kamala Harris's record on immigration. Where are the national efforts to define Kamala Harris by her record? Because the weird and the likable and all that stuff, it's going to be overwhelmed by Kamala Harris's record. And I got to say, I really am shocked to watch the Democrats move with speed and coordination in the media to define J.D. Vance as too weird and radical to be near the office of the president. And remember, folks, whether you like him or not, most Americans don't like Trump. By making J.D. Vance completely unlikable, you've taken the potential salve of his nomination away. Instead of having someone who could smooth Trump's rough edges, you've got someone who the Democrats are making as dislikable as Trump. And for a lot of Americans, they're emotional. They're not logical. And then emotion potentially leads them to Harris because she comes across as more likable because the Republicans let the Democrats define the Republicans as weird, bizarre weirdos faster than the Republicans could define the Democrats. And yes, she may not have a running mate now, but you could still target Harris and her record. and make her too radical to be president. They haven't done that yet.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Random question from listener Landon about the piece I wrote in my morning email. And it just to give you the synopsis of it. So Elon Musk has a tweet. Yes, the owner of Twitter now has a tweet. I refuse to call it X. It's still Twitter. X is a stupid name. Elon Musk tweeted out over the weekend, quote, "Unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is fair and right, Christianity will perish." If your first reaction to Elon Musk's tweet, and again, the tweet is, "Unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is fair and right, Christianity will perish." If your first reaction to Elon Musk's tweet is to agree, it's not my opinion that you are wrong. It's that you are, in fact, wrong. There's no opinion about it. You are wrong and Musk is wrong. Musk is not a believer, of course, but Christianity will not perish. If every person on planet Earth sits down tomorrow and says, I'm done working to advance the church, I don't believe it anymore, you still can't get rid of it because it's either real, which means the God of all creation is in charge of it, he's sovereign and you can't stop him, or it's not real, in which case it deserves to die. So based on that I was pointing that out, that historically, actually, Christianity thrives in persecution, but theologically and as a matter of reality, if God really does exist, if Jesus really rose again, there's nothing you or I can do to stop Christianity from thriving. So Landon wanted to know, if he wanted to get back into the Bible and read some more, where would he start? You know, honestly, what I tell people these days is read 5 chapters of John and 1 chapter of 1 John. And then there are 4 chapters of, go read the first 4 chapters of John and the first chapter of 1 John. And then go read the next 4 chapters of John the next day and the first and the second chapter of John. And you balance out, and it's a fun way to do it. Now, I got to tell you about Eden Pure because their air purifier, I took it with me to Las Vegas. I did not need it in Las Vegas. The hotel was great, but I had it in case. I did have to use it in Atlanta in a hotel room the other day because of air freshener issues. They played some chemical air freshener in it, and I got an allergic reaction to it. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm just works. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you can get 3 of them for less than $200, and you save $200 by going to EdenPureDeals.com. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3. You go to Eden Pure Thunderstorm, EdenPureDeals.com. You get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You get less than $200. You save $200. It's an air purifier, filterless, so you don't have to buy a filter subscription. It traps the dust. It traps the pollen, but then it eliminates odors, smoke odors, litter box odors, dirty diaper odors, pet odors, fireplace odors, musty odors. It really does work, so much so I carry it with me. It's small, highly portable. Plug it in with a USB cord or plug it into the wall. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. Well, we knew it was going to happen. Joe Biden has announced his plan to reform the United States Supreme Court. Now, I need to set the stage for you here. Joe Biden commissioned a commission of partisans to recommend to him how to reform the U.S. Supreme Court. That commission came back with a litany of progressive ideas. He stacked the deck in favor of the progressive ideas. And Joe Biden chose to do absolutely nothing with the commission's recommendations. Not a thing. So, it died. And over the last 2 years now, in the run-up to the end of each Supreme Court term, there's been a wave of media hysteria about the Supreme Court. Think of all of the resources that the press corps put into doing stories about the Alito family's flags instead of doing stories about Joe Biden's mental decline. In fact, they spent energy insisting that what we were witnessing wasn't true when it came to Joe Biden and spent a whole lot of time doing disinformation and misinformation about the Alito flags. The left destroys any entity it does not control. It's got to discredit the Supreme Court because it doesn't control the Supreme Court. It's funny, Joe Biden is now releasing these ideas because they don't control the Supreme Court. He was never interested in any of these reform ideas when they did control the Supreme Court, when the left did. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when she was alive, had far more dealings with a lot of rich people and profited from her position than Clarence Thomas ever has. But they don't want you to know that. In fact, they've hardly ever covered Ruth Bader Ginsburg's ethical issues on the U.S. Supreme Court. But Clarence Thomas, God help him. So now Joe Biden wants to term limit members of the Supreme Court. He wants to put them under ethics guidelines, prohibit them from buying stocks, doing all sorts of these things, pack the Supreme Court, add more seats to the Supreme Court, things like that. Essentially turning the Supreme Court into an explicitly partisan exercise. Leonard Leo of the Federalist Society has released a statement on President Biden's Supreme Court announcement. This is what he wrote. No conservative justice has made any decision in any big case that surprised anyone, so let's stop pretending this is about undue influence. It's about Democrats destroying a court they don't agree with. If President Biden and the Democrats were truly serious about ethics reform, then they would ban all gifts and hospitality of any kind to any public official in any branch of government, starting with Congress, where the real corruption is. They would close all the loopholes that allow members to travel on private jets to fancy hotels and restaurants. With respect to judges, they would include the things where influence peddling is most present and dangerous, and that's when the liberal justices rub shoulders with influencers at places like law schools, bar associations, progressive think tanks, and their conferences, and other groups and events funded by left-wing billionaires where they support real vested interests in the work of the court. Let me be clear. If Democrats want to adopt an across-the-board ethics ban for all branches, I am in favor of that. No jets, no meals, no speaking honorariums, no gifts for anyone, from anyone, for any reason, in any branch, starting with Congress. Until they support that, let's all be honest about what this is, a campaign to destroy a court that they disagree with. Leonard Leo is absolutely right. Absolutely right. They don't want this to apply to Congress. They don't want this to apply to the president and his family. They want this to apply solely and exclusively to a Supreme Court that they do not control. Why do you think that is? You got to ask yourself, why? Why are they so concerned with the U.S. Supreme Court and they're not concerned with Congress's shady dealings? And it does have everything to do with control. So long as you understand that that's what it's about. Control. It's an unfortunate aspect of the Democratic progressive games. You got no choice. It's my show. I was going to say if you'll allow seeking your permission. I don't need your permission. I'm just going to do it. It's my show. let's go back to the very beginning of the show. Talking about the Olympics. Before the opening ceremony, everyone was on notice that there would be a drag and trans performer show depicting the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper of Jesus, based on the Da Vinci painting. Side note. some of the people who are expressing outrage about that performance, some of them are the people who have dressed Donald Trump up as Jesus Christ in stuff they've put online. If you're going to be offended about drag and trans performers depicting the Last Supper, you should be offended with the people who try to compare Trump to Jesus. End of side note. But what happened? Before the opening ceremonies, the media covered it as the Last Supper. The Chiron on television covered it as the Last Supper. The Last Supper on a stage on the Seine. The title of it specifically was, in English, The Last Supper on a Stage on the Seine. The drag performer at the center of it, in the Jesus position in the chair, put on Instagram that it was the gay New Testament with a picture of what was on stage and a picture of the Last Supper. And then the outrage started. And when the outrage started, they started memory holding it. That performer took down the picture from Instagram and put up a new picture saying, it was a comparison of a Bacchanalia. The tourism page for the Olympics deleted the reference to the Last Supper. The producer and director came out and said it was never intended to be the Last Supper. We're so sorry people thought that it was. And yet all the printed publications beforehand said it was about the Last Supper. They tried to revise history. They're trying to change the language. They're trying to revise it. They're trying to control it because they lost control of the situation. Now, this ties to what the progressives want to do with the Supreme Court and the Electoral College and the United States Senate. If you will recall, when the Republicans last controlled the Senate, there were regular articles in the media about how the Senate needs to be reformed because it does not represent fairly the populations of the United States. It simply, according to the left, is not fair that Wyoming has the same number of senators as California. Never mind that in American history you learn that the Senate represents the states and the House represents the people. Each state is equal under the Constitution. It's not based on population. The House is based on population because it represents the people. But each state is equal, and so each state gets equal representation in the Senate. And there's actually a provision in the Constitution that no state can be forced to give up its senators without the consent of the state. But they don't care about that. They know now, because of their history of indoctrinating students instead of actually educating students in school, that the students have no idea. The students don't know. The students don't care. The students never learned. So they can discredit the Senate. The Constitution of the United States could not have been passed without the Electoral College. The Electoral College was a compromise between big states and small states. It was the Connecticut Compromise, I think, that did the Electoral College. There were several compromises. The Connecticut Compromise being one. Okay, now I got a Connecticut Compromise. The upper house would have equal representation. The lower house would have proportional representation. Bicameral legislator Roger Sherman. Yeah, Electoral College was tied to it. The problem here was this. The problem was this. Did you want the United States? Did you want the United States? See, if you didn't want the United States, well, then you didn't need the Electoral Compromise. But if you wanted the United States, you needed the Electoral College Compromise. You needed the Great Compromise. You needed the 3/5 of each state population being slaves as opposed to 1-to-1. You know that the South wanted slaves. They didn't believe that slaves were humans, but they wanted them counted for the Constitution and the census. And the compromise was a 3/5 compromise. And you could say, well, that's an abomination. But did you want the United States or not? This is the thing that the left leaves out of the conversation. If you're concerned about the Electoral College, if you're concerned about the Senate, if you're concerned about the three-fifths compromise, would the world be better off without the United States? Because you don't actually get the United States of America without that three-fifths clause of the Constitution. You don't actually get the United States without a Senate that represents the states, where each state has two senators, and a House that represents the people, where it's based on population. You don't actually get the United States without the Electoral College compromised as a way to pick the president of the United States. You don't actually get the United States without those things. So is the world better off with the United States or not? No one on the left wants to ask the question because they don't want to wind up saying, no, we're not better off with the United States. We wish there ever was a United States. But that's where all of this sort of stuff leads. These gimmicks to tie the left. Joe Biden rejected these ideas for court reform. Until he decided at the very end, he's stepping aside, he's got nothing to lose, and he wants to fire up the progressive base. He's worried about turnout in November, and he's saying, ah, if you'll turn out, we'll change the courts, we'll pack the courts. If you help us save the Senate, we'll kill the filibuster and do this. There are a lot of you who want to opt out of the election because you don't like either side. The Democrats are taking the brakes off now. They're going to roll down this hill as fast as they can. If they end the filibuster and pack the courts, it is the end of the United States. And that's not hyperbole, because the court was always designed to be that arbiter on the outside. You may not like it, but the Republicans played a very long game over 50 years to shape the courts. And Democrats lost the fight, and so now they've decided to take the brakes out and go as fast as they can to reform it. That will break the process. That will break the country. But it's a power play now. It's a power play. The truth no longer matters. The truth can be redacted. The truth can be memory-holed. All that matters is who has power. The Democrats have talked themselves into believing that Donald Trump is an autocrat dictator who, if he comes to power, will never be stopped again. And so they have decided they must become the autocratic dictators who can never be stopped again. So, yeah, you have to vote in November. I'm not going to make you, but you should consider it. This is what the Democrats do. They try to destroy any institution they do not control. And they're going to try to destroy the country if Trump wins in November, because they'll have realized that they don't control it. Therefore, it's illegitimate. Many of the Democrats will not say publicly what I think many of them believe privately. That, yeah, actually, the world would be better off without the United States. We never should have done the Connecticut Compromise. We never should have done the three-fifths clause. We never should have done the Senate. We never should have done the Electoral College. The United States wouldn't exist if we didn't. And so, yeah, I think a lot of them actually privately believe the world would be a better place without us. I dissent. Now, I got to tell you about Old Glory Bank. It's a bank for conservatives, by conservatives. It's a proudly patriotic American bank, and they would love to have you in your bank account. I did this morning. I went to Las Vegas, and I left with a lot more money than I went with. Last time I got blown out of the water. This time, made it up. But I had to deposit all the cash when I got back. So I pulled out my Old Glory app. I was able to generate a QR code. I took it to the CVS near my house that participates in the program, and I deposited cash at my online bank. There's no branch around here. You can't deposit cash in an online bank unless that online bank is Old Glory Bank. And Old Glory Bank is that innovative. You can. And you can get a no-fee checking account and a no-fee savings account just like me. It's great. You go to oldglorybank.com. Oldglorybank.com. You can get an account in less than 8 minutes, and it just works. Their app is great. The debit card features are great. Their website, their bill pay, their budgeting tools, all of that fantastic. World-class banking from Old Glory Bank. With no fee checking, no fee savings. Great for your kids, too, if you want them to be able to put money in an account and not have it eaten up with bank fees. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. So I got an email from a listener, and I realize a lot of you don't care, but I'm happy to answer these sorts of emails, and it was kind of meant for the audience. I go to Vegas. I don't gamble. What do I do? I will play craps to Vegas. I do not play a slot machine. Refuse to play the slots. That's just a scam. In fact, I was at a hotel in Las Vegas. I've got one of the little cards that they can use to track what you do at the casino, and you get perks and stuff. They said, you want the most perks, you got to play the slots. Why? Because that's where they bleed you dry. The craps table is the only one that I will play because it's the closest to even odds. It's not. It's still in the casino's favor, but not by much. The most conservative play is actually a pretty good play. So I'll do that. But I go to Las Vegas because I can completely unwind. They have fantastic restaurants. They've got great cigar bars, and that's kind of it. I like to eat and smoke cigars. And they have gun ranges, and I like to shoot guns. There is a place outside of Las Vegas. It's called Bullets and Burgers. They have the best machine gun collection in Las Vegas. And you can go out there, you go to Bullets and Burgers, their website, and you can go out there and shoot guns. And then they own a burger joint across the street. And so you go grab a burger on your way back in. We've done it several times, and it's always fun. It's a blast, pun intended. It really is. You can even, like, they've got a sniper rifle, and you can target Tannerite and blow up the Tannerite. It's a lot of fun. My kids had a blast when we were out there. It's a lot of fun. I loved it. And the helicopter rides, Maverick Helicopter. Yeah, I can take a helicopter, land in the Grand Canyon, and come back into Vegas at sunset. And it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. The shooting is less expensive than the helicopter ride, and there's so many great restaurants out there. That's why I don't go to gamble. I go to shoot guns and eat and just relax. So you can too. Now, I got to tell you about Omaha Steaks. I actually got a box of Omaha Steaks in last week before I left because I'm a big fan of their bacon wrap fillets, and I wanted to take advantage of my own. So it kind of is a little weird, admittedly, to go use my own promo code. But at omahasteaks.com, you can go to Omaha Steaks and use promo code ERIC and get $30 off at Omaha Steaks right now. Limited time offer, minimum order required, because it is now officially their anniversary sale. They've been around for 107 years at omahasteaks.com. So you go to omahasteaks.com, load up your cart. In fact, I haven't taken advantage of the sale. So 50% off site-wide, Omaha Steaks. Use promo code ERIC at checkout. You're going to save even more money. Everything right now is more than 50% off at the site because it is their 107th anniversary and they're celebrating, and you can take advantage of the celebration. Go to omahasteaks.com. Your promo code at checkout is ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. You will save even more than the already incredible savings at omahasteaks.com.